Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. A Christmas tree light, some nails, a remote control for a toy car. These are just some of the everyday objects that the Tsarnaev brothers used to construct their pressure cooker bombs that caused such deadly mayhem at the Boston Marathon finish line almost 2 years ago.
That was what jurors heard today in the 14th day of testimony in the trial of admitted bomber Jahar Tsarnaev. Witnesses included an FBI agent who described in detail how the bombs were constructed and the destruction they caused.
Joining us now from the Moakley Federal Courthouse in South Boston is WBR reporter Jack Lepiarz. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Anthony.
So we mentioned those items, a Christmas tree light bulb, a speed controller for a model car, nails. What did we learn about the way these bombs were put together?
Well, it's interesting is these bombs had a sort of, rudimentary sort of wiring engineering aspect to them. And the way these bombs are constructed is you take parts from these model cars, most notably the transmitter and the receiver. Essentially, the transmitter is the remote control that you hold, and the receiver is the piece in the car that when you press go forward, the car goes forward. So those parts are used. And then this Christmas tree light is wired, and it's interesting. You have to actually break open it so that the filament is exposed, and that is the actual ignition, that by hitting on the transmitter to go, you turn on this Christmas tree light, which is wired into the circuitry. The Christmas tree light turns on, and it ignites the powder inside the pressure cooker itself.
Yeah. Now, this testimony came from FBI Special Agent Edward Knapp. Tell us who he is and about his role in the early parts of the Marathon bombing investigation.
Well, Knapp is he graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. He is a former Navy SEAL. He has the all-business demeanor to show for it. But he is essentially in the FBI's, almost bomb office. And so he wasn't personally at the scene. What his task was is to remain at Quantico, Virginia, at the headquarters, and sift through all of the evidence that comes back from the bombing scenes and see if he can, bit by bit, piece by piece, put these bombs back together. And remember, you've got pressure cooker bombs that are into more than a dozen pieces, fragments, as big as a quarter in some circumstances. But he says from doing this as long as they have, they do know what to look for. And that is you look for wiring, basically things that would have been part of the fusing, part of the transmitter or receiver for this. You look for containers of the bombs. You look for any kind of residue, explosive residue, to tell you exactly what may have exactly sparked the explosion.
Okay, so lots of details about how these bombs were built. Is the FBI saying that the Tsarnaev brothers actually built these bombs?
Well, I don't know if they've come out and said that exactly. One thing that they do not know where the bombs were made. But there was some circumstantial evidence today, earlier from David McCollum, another FBI forensic chemist in this circumstance, who tested vacuum filters taken from the Tsarnaev apartment in Cambridge, also latex gloves, and more vacuum filters taken from the CRV that's registered to Tamerlan Tsarnaev. And a number of those filters, as well as the latex gloves, came back testing positive for a number of elements: aluminum, magnesium, barium, as well as other compounds like sulfate, chloride, all of these other instances that you can find in nature, but when you get them all in one place, it's a very strong indication that you're dealing with some sort of explosive substance.
Right. Now, Jack, Special Agent Knapp also read from a magazine published by Al-Qaeda called Inspired, and the article was entitled How to Build a Bomb in the Kitchen of Your Mom. What did the article say, and what did he say about the article?
We've heard a lot about this article in the trial going forward. This is the first time we've taken a real hard look at some of the words in it. And Special Agent Knapp, read through a good chunk of it, word by word. And it's interesting. It's a step-by-step instruction on how to build these bombs. It's got pictures. It says, do this, do X, Y, and Z. And it even has advice for people at the end. It says, be careful with this. Make sure that you conceal the bombs. Remember, you're dealing with an explosive. And the most important piece of evidence, it says, is pray to Allah for success.
Mm. Now, those bombs that exploded at the finish line, of course, we know that the shrapnel, the nails, the BBs caused all kinds of terrible injuries. But I gather that Knapp made the point that even without the shrapnels, these would have been very powerful and very deadly bombs.
Yeah, one note from the Inspire magazine was actually that BBs are the best kind of shrapnel to use. But even without them, you're still dealing with fragmentation because you have so many parts inside the pressure cooker, not to mention the pressure cooker itself. Mm. When the pressure cooker explodes, it explodes because gas builds up inside to the point where the metal container can no longer hold it. The metal container rips apart, and you get shards of metal thrown in every direction. But even in addition to that, you've got a shockwave. You've got intense heat coming out of that. I mean, a lot of us have seen the picture of the moment the bomb went off, and it looks like a fireball on Boylston Street. So without the shrapnel, you don't get injuries as far away, but you still get these very localized, concentrated, and still possibly fatal injuries.
Sure. Now, Jack, I understand that Special Agent Knapp is being cross-examined now by defense attorneys. Tell us what's next in this trial, when we can expect the prosecution to rest its case.
Well, we can expect the prosecution to rest fairly shortly. Not today, but very possibly on Monday. We have a few more witnesses to get through, and I suspect some very graphic testimony to get through on Monday. But it's very likely that we will see the prosecution rest on Monday, followed by we don't know exactly how long the defense will present its case.
All right. WBUR's Jack Lepiarz from the Moakley Federal Courthouse in South Boston. Thanks, Jack.
You're welcome.